afternoon. All very well sort of preaching brevity. I'm going to try and practice it. I'm going to try and catch up a bit of the time that we've got this morning. So, good. So, I guess the perspective of Twitter is interesting in an advertising conference because a whole load of the people in the room probably use Twitter for free to a large extent. A whole load of brands use Twitter for free. And I guess I'm just going to try and talk a little bit about that. I'm going to add some detail to that. So, I'm certainly not coming to sell the benefits of Twitter, more illustrating how people are using it. One of the things we often do, and my colleagues in the US talk about this, I think this metaphor works better in an American accent, because it certainly doesn't work in sort of dour Brummy. But they often talk about Twitter not being an island, but a bridge. If that was an American, you'd be fully tweeting that. But it's a bridge that connects different media, and I'm going to try and illustrate that in the coming 15 minutes. So I'm going to talk about how Twitter can be used to move people. We often talk about Twitter being an interest network rather than a social network. And while it does have social qualities to it, I think it's the anchoring around your interests and passions that's the really defining part. And so what we see as a result of that, by being adjacent to people's interests and passions, it's an incredibly potent place to be. So if you think about the things that happened recently, we're seeing increasingly that Twitter is almost the second screen, is the second screen that connects what people are seeing and how they're commenting on it. So I guess to give you one live example, one lesson I've got from today, don't mention a major social phenomenon at a conference, like third mention it. First slide, though. So the Felix, the spaceman thing, and I guess the intriguing thing about that, this was for me clearly a YouTube story, but the intriguing thing about that is just how the ripples of that event took place really across Twitter and across social networks. This tweet from Evan Davis from Radio 4 sort of defined that. If that moment when he jumps out is not one of the best pieces of live TV ever, I don't know what is. Wait a sec, I didn't watch it on TV. And I think, you know, it's illustrated in the volume, the outpouring of emotion that we saw. Just there's the volume of tweets, 2.8 million tweets. As people are watching that event. So clearly, when things happen in the real world, they're reflected on Twitter. I guess we talk about this being an information network and an interest network, being adjacent to people's passions. And the one thing that we see time and time again is people say to us, Twitter brings me closer to my interests and passions. Locog sort of illustrated this. We had a thing that we did during the course of the last basketball season, where we installed a camera in the NBA basketball in the US, behind the backboard. So when people scored, whatever you score in basketball, hoops, points, they got an extraordinary picture of the image from behind there. So a different perspective, it brings you close to things that happen. And in the spirit of that, Locog came to us and said they were going to install what they called mechanical cameras, 20 cameras distributed across the Olympics. This one I just particularly love because it has almost an artistic capture of a perspective that maybe we didn't see during the Olympics. There's Michael Phelps reflected off the surface of the water. So just it brings you closer to events. And not only brings you closer to the big public things, but also brings you closer to the people who are interested in them. Here's a tweet I saw from Samuel L. Jackson. The only way to read this tweet from Samuel L. Jackson is I'm now going to adopt a Samuel L. Jackson voice.
Like I said before, those brutes are some peddling, record-breaking, motorcycling fuckers. Congratulations.
No further impersonation. What I loved about that was just like a spontaneous thing. Interestingly, Samuel L. Jackson performed third best in the ticket ballot after Kate Middleton and Boris Johnson. He had just an extraordinary swoop of tickets. Found himself in loads of events. But he got tweets back. This is a tweet back from Chris Hoy, probably my favourite tweet of all time. So it brings you closer to the participants in events. We did some research into this to try and understand how people use Twitter. And the thing we saw, piece of work that can be, is that, for example, half of all people follow a musician on Twitter. And that might be one of the megastars like Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Rihanna. But also it can be the guy who plays at your local pub. So people use Twitter to bring them closer to the things that they're particularly interested and passionate about. The interesting thing at the bottom is retailers. A third of all people follow a retailer. So actually that thing that maybe a serendipity that you were in store one day that you saw the sales were starting the following week, actually people use Twitter to bring them closer to those things. And just an illustration of that. And as a consequence of that, I think because people are leveraged around their interests, you get these extraordinary stories of things spreading very quickly. One thing we investigated in that Compete research is why people retweet things. And two-thirds of people say they retweet to share something that's happened right now. It's that pop of revelation. It's sharing an extraordinary news story. And here's one example from the world of media. When the sad day that David Hepworth and the team at World Magazine closed down World Magazine, he said he tweeted it out and then got on the tube. So here's his tweet. He wrote an article for The Guardian and for a couple of other publications. Then I tweeted saying that the magazine was closing. By the time I'd got to work 40 minutes later, the story had gone further than it would have gone in an entire week in the old world. It's just the illustration of being adjacent to people's interests and passions. Let me give you another example of that. So this is a clip from ITV. So right, I'll just explain that. So we often talk about Twitter bringing you closer, Twitter being really the shortest distance between you and what interests you most. You represented by the at sign, and what interests you most represented by the hashtag. Here's the example from ITV. This is, if anyone's been watching The X Factor this season, the X Factor, each episode has been getting in the region of about 800,000, 900,000 tweets during the course of the show. And here's one illustration. People often ask why ITV put hashtags on the screen, and here's one of the reasons why. So what you're going to see here is one of the contestants during the auditions singing a clip, and the song is related to post-drink regret, so it's called Beer Fear. And what you can see on the screen is just, firstly, the flow of tweets during the course of a programme like that, how Twitter is the second screen and people talk about things openly, but also just the impact of being adjacent to people's passions. So you'll see, hopefully you'll see the impact when ITV put a hashtag on the screen.
But I'm a bit on my own, so I'm not going to pretend I wish I could stop, because I'm not joking. I love drinking too much and socially smoking. I don't want to stop or learn to behave, amen. And I hate Joe Smith another day again.
Tweets on that hashtag when it got dropped on the screen. So immediately that will become one of the biggest trending items in the UK, and it's an incredible attention pointing device to what they're talking about. The next thing I'm just going to talk about is the power of advertising and how, in fact, Twitter's an incredible home for great copywriting. I was reading John Hegarty's book from last year on advertising, and he talks about all advertising being reductive. So the essence of good advertising is saying less to mean more. And I think, you know, we're seeing that more and more advertisers are taking advantage of it and exploiting it. Here's an example. This is a tweet that was sent out just the moment that England got knocked out of the Euros, Euro 2012, which was from Visit England. It's England lose on penalties. For more on our culture and traditions, go to Visit England. I guess in the old days that would have been a labour of someone working through the night to get a quarter page ad in The Sun. And this ad was tweeted in the moment, was retweeted 10,000 times. So I guess sort of global distribution it ended up getting for that. Great piece of reductive copywriting. Just it expresses the message very simply. So I guess, you know, in many ways 140 characters can express that. We're also starting to see far more. So we're facilitating more happening in tweets. So whether that's images or, in this case here, streaming live gigs. So this is something we're starting to offer for free to a number of our partners. This is just a YouTube clip. So anyone who pastes a YouTube clip in can do this. But just a clip pasted into YouTube, into Twitter, and you can see it just streams a live music concert. Just an illustration there. So I guess to some extent the limitations are 140 characters. For us, we see a tweet as like a promise, a headline that often leads to a click. So it doesn't all have to happen in a tweet. Okay, so I'm just going to give you two examples of how that works and just the ability to drive results. First is an example from Samsung. And Samsung, really, social media often gets regarded as upper purchase funnel, brand intent, and just brand awareness. This is a campaign for Samsung where they just wanted to drive downloads, so a return on investment. First time I've ever discussed this, But this is a campaign where Samsung came to us and they said, we want to drive downloads of our app in the run-up to the Olympics. First thing they found was that the download rate was three times what they found elsewhere. So it's incredibly responsive. People, we sometimes talk about Twitter being the world in your pocket. It's a sort of personalised news feed. And to be on that environment drove a really high download rate for them. The interesting thing for Samsung was that for every download they paid for, they got four for free. And this year there's been a lot of discussion about paid, owned and earned media. I think the illustration really is that good advertising can effectively earn its keep with earned media. Final one is they categorised apps into three categories. A whole load of people download an app and never use it, and they're low engagers. A lot of people download an app and maybe use it once or twice, and they're categorised as medium engagers. Everything above that is regarded as a high engager. 92% of the people who came from Twitter were high engagers. The campaign average was 68%. So just a good illustration, really. This is a high attention environment. I guess if that's online footfall, I just wanted to show you some offline footfall. This was a campaign for Starbucks that they did with us. It wasn't the most successful campaign Starbucks did with us this year. But they did a campaign. If anyone remembers summer, remember that day in May? And Starbucks ran a campaign that day which had half-price frappuccinos. So just a tweet promoting that. Interestingly, the tweet that they sent out to promote that had 48% engagement, 49% engagement. So effectively what that means is half the people who saw that tweet engaged with it in some way, where a lot of those engagements are retweets or a click on the link. In this case, actually, a whole load of people replied with a photograph. So they engaged by sending an image of them enjoying a frappuccino. But the one thing that Starbucks wanted to look at was footfall and the amount of people going in store. And yeah, the campaign was very effective at driving people in store. We used a tool called Crimson Hexagon to track the amount of check-ins on Foursquare, or the open check-in on Facebook, or the mentions on Twitter. And we saw an increase of 68% in the amount of people going in store. So just a good illustration that offline or online, you can really move people to achieve things with. I'm just going to share a final piece of detail on the research that we did. And again, this speaks to anyone who's using Twitter for free. So this, again, looks at why people retweet things, why they share things. And just to go through these, to sort of talk you through the stats. But I guess the things that you're going to see up there, a lot of them are pretty intuitive if you use the product. So you can see along the line, live events, 42%, fun comment, 48%. But freebies is top. The interesting thing, I think, for brands is the second one, which is the second most retweeted thing, 51%, is photographs. Quite often brands wonder about a content strategy, wonder about what they should be sharing, and often content seems complex. It almost feels like you need to be creating games or videos. The number one best performing form of content on the Twitter environment is photographs. So just an illustration, really, that just showing someone behind the scenes or just sharing a moment that maybe the audience wouldn't normally have access to is probably the most fertile thing you can do. So really simple, don't overcomplicate it. And I guess the final thing I'll illustrate about how brands are using Twitter in advertising, just how brands are using it for storytelling. So probably the best campaign, and I think a country mile better than this Coke stuff this year, was Adidas. Adidas really set about telling stories with their hashtags. And a lot of the stuff they did was just using other media to amplify the excitement around it. So Adidas started off with a hashtag, take the stage. They deliberately adopted that a few weeks before. What we saw throughout the Olympics was that people were using that hashtag for their own Olympic moments. Because it wasn't specifically branded, it felt like an endorsement that people could give without feeling uncomfortable. And Adidas really cleverly used that to evolve the story. So that explosion of emotion when people won gold medals, they immediately released photographs, back to what I said before, with the hashtag stage take on it. So just really encouraging people, almost providing the tools for people to retweet themselves and share those moments. A really good illustration. Final thing I'm going to end on is just probably the single best example of the use of the Twitter platform. And it's a brand who we think just uses Twitter extraordinarily. And one of the phrases that they use is this, walking the floor with customers. Let me show you a case that they had, and I'll talk you through the example. So one thing that people see on Twitter all the time is they use it to contact brands. So here's a tweet from 2 weeks ago. O2 this year have suffered two network outages. The second one was quite brief. The first one was a touch longer. But they used Twitter throughout to connect with customers. I'm going to read this guy's tweet. Bastard big man, I swear directly to your owner, what happened to my internet connection, fam? Man's having to use Wi-Fi and data. Now, this is the sort of tweet that brands regularly get. They get sort of hostile, annoyed, frustrated tweets. In O2's instance here, they chose to reply. And the first thing they did is they had a look at the previous tweets that this guy had sent. And they realised he hadn't normally spoken in this tone of voice. So it was clearly something he'd done specifically in contact with them. They tweeted back, have you tried to reset the router ting to fam so mans can use the Wi-Fi on that? I think there's a big thing happening with grand tone of voice there. The interesting thing is that this tweet was retweeted several thousand times. In fact, it was covered in a lot of the newspapers the next day. The interesting thing is, the guy himself entered into a dialogue with them, ended up saying, this is amazing. You know, so they turned a moment of hostility into a moment of potential advocacy. To prove this stuff works, we chatted for a great length to O2. And they say, O2, in their own customer survey, they monitor a massive number of metrics and they aggregate them into what they call the CSI score. So it's effectively a consumer index score of how happy people are. In their own index, they come top. But here's what they say. They say anyone who's been exposed to their work on Twitter is 6 points higher than people who aren't exposed. And they say they put that into money. They say that's the difference between someone lapsing and renewing. So already, O2 are sort of getting a B, A score in terms of their own customer service. When they use Twitter, they go up to an A star. They know this makes a massive difference to their business. But the interesting thing is, people say, where does this start? Where does this come from? It starts really from the top. So this guy here, Ronan Dunn, is the chief exec of O2 in the UK. He's got, I think, close to 60,000 followers. He uses Twitter every night. But the fascinating thing he says is that when you chat to accomplished retailers like Philip Green, and you chat to people who understand the retail business, they say the single biggest signal you can get how retail is going is by walking the floor. And this guy describes it as walking the floor on Twitter. Every night he goes and sees what customers are saying about his brand and seeing the conversations they're having about his brand. So when brands say to us, oh, how do we use social media? How do we work it well? I tend to think that it needs to come from the top. And this illustration of this guy here leading from the front and using it himself to walk the floor is probably a good illustration. So as I mentioned before, I think O2 set the standard, you know, really extraordinary revolution in brand tone of voice. Some brands often say to us, we couldn't talk like that on Twitter. I'm fascinated with what they feel the limitations are. I think the one thing, if we've learned one thing this year from Danny Boyle, it's that there's one part of DNA of the British psyche that is forever rooted in humour. And the ability to channel that humour in your tone of voice, I think, is incredibly potent for brands. So, I mentioned before, Twitter's the shortest distance between you and what interests you most. What we're seeing is brands using that for free or for paid for to get closer to their customers. We see ourselves as an interest network rather than a social network. The things I've gone through is the ability to connect to people's passions, the ability to drive actions, if you think about Starbucks and Samsung, the ability to connect with ideas, if you think about what Adidas have done, and finally, the ability to move people. Thank you very much.